Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the last Sunday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with the community of listeners. Tonight's hosts are me, Patty, and
Matt,
and Owen.
I attend Laytonville High School. Matt and Owen graduated last year. Matt is studying at Humboldt State, and Owen is at the University of California, Merced. Youth Speaks Out is proud to have completed its eighth year of monthly programs here on KZYX. We'd like to give a brief review of the topics we have covered in 2006. All of these shows can be heard in streaming audio at our website, www.youthspeaksout.net. We began the year discussing what does testing prove. In February, we talked about military recruiting on campus. In March, we covered options for life after high school. April had many actions about immigration in the U.S., so our topic was immigration and May Day. In May, we had the opportunity to interview Native American poet and activist John Trudell in a program called Thinking Clearly in the 21st Century. Youth Speaks Out was preempted in June for a musical festival. In July, we discussed gay youth. In August, we covered teens and alcohol, discussing the topic with the local director of an organization called Stop Teen Drinking. In September, we rebroadcasted an interview with the recently deceased district attorney Norm Vroman, and then talked about political awareness in high school. Midterm elections and youth was our subject for October, and last month our topic was defining poverty in rural Mendocino County. We want to thank all the callers who have joined in to make the public affairs show so dynamic, and if you missed any of these programs, you can hear them on your computer by going to www.youthspeaksout.net.
Blessed are the consumers, for you shall be free from living by products. Blessed are all of us. We will transcend the media and dance in the streets. Blessed are those of you who stumble out of branded mean streets. You shall find lovers not downloaded and oceans not rising.
Blessed are you.
Blessed is the ordinary citizen who holds on to a patch of public commons. For you are the new world.
Yeah, blessed are you.
Blessed is the artist who is not corporate sponsored. For you shall give birth to warm fronts of emotion and breakthroughs of peace.
Blessed are you.
And blessed are those of us who confuse consumerism with freedom. We shall be delighted to discover the difference.
Blessed are you.
And blessed are the advertisers. Blessed are the celebrities. For you have been waiting for the remarkable restfulness of honesty. Blessed are those of us who live in city neighborhoods that people have flown away from in fear. Our children shall return to illuminate this dark economy. Blessed are the workers in the super malls, for the town your employers killed will come back to life. Back to life. Back to life. A life of memories of you. A life of jobs for you. A life of love by you. Blessed is the breadwinner with outsourced dreams who sits in bad traffic wondering what happened to your life. You will find for you will find a happy ending. That's a happier ending than Hollywood. Happier than Bollywood. Happier than Babel.
Blessed are you.
And blessed are the teenage girls in the sweatshops, for the things you make will fly you like magic evening gowns to the city of lights. Blessed are those of us who are dimmed under the gaze of supermodels. We shall escape to accept the radical freedom and the infinite responsibility of making love without buying it. Amen.
Blessed are you.
Blessed are those of you who disturb the customers. You might be loving your neighbor.
Blessed are you.
Blessed are those of us who disturb the customers. We might just be loving our neighbor. Let's go out and disturb those customers. Let's disturb those customers. Blessed are those of us who disturb the customers and start loving our neighbor.
Tonight, our topic is consumerism and college debt. Consumerism is used to describe the tendency of people to identify strongly with products or services they consume, especially those with commercial brand names and obvious status-enhancing appeal, for example, an expensive automobile or expensive clothes. A culture that is permeated by consumerism can be referred to as a consumer culture. Impulse buyers who cannot resist spending money are commonly termed shopaholics. Affluenza is a term used by critics of consumerism. It is a word formed by the contraction of affluence and influenza. John DeGraff coined the term, defining it as a painful, contagious, socially transmitted condition of overload, debt, anxiety, and waste, resulting from the dogged pursuit of more. Another defines it as the bloated, sluggish, and unfulfilled feeling that results from efforts to keep up with the Joneses. College loans have been around for decades. The amount that students need to borrow has soared along with tuition and housing costs. The average student borrower now graduates with $27,600 of debt, almost 3.5 times what it was a decade ago. 84% of Black students and 66% of Latino students graduate with debt, and 39% of all student borrowers graduate with unmanageable levels of debt, according to the Department of Education. Add to that young people's average credit card debt over $4,000. Set aside your stereotypes of irresponsible youth, over 70% of undergraduates use credit cards to buy school supplies, food, and textbooks. 24% use their credit cards for tuition. Credit card companies are becoming the high-interest student loan industry of the last resort. When it's all totaled up, young people spend 25% of every dollar earned on paying off debts and loans. Is it fair to start off a working career in significant debt? Is it inevitable that we begin adulthood never caught up economically? Is there truth to John Trudell's words, "Slavery is slavery"? whether you are in chains, an indentured servant, or in debt, slavery is slavery. We hope that you are interested in these subjects and will want to participate. We're here at the Willett Studio, and our phone number will be 456-9991. We will encourage everyone to join in the discussion in about 20 minutes. So let's begin by talking about consumerism and affluenza. Matt, do you find yourself buying things you don't need, and are you affected by brand names? Have you caught affluenza?
Well, Patty, I can honestly say, as though I don't feel I've caught influenza. A brand name doesn't mean so much to me. Whether it's a jacket by Abercrombie & Fitch or Carhartt, a brand name just doesn't matter. As long as the jacket keeps me warm, the jacket works for me. I have an ability that I feel a lot of people in America still probably have, somewhere, deep down, to go into a department store and to not purchase everything they see. I've known quite a few people who haven't been able to walk into a grocery store or into a department store such as Walmart or Target and just buy what they went in to get. They could easily come out with 10, 15, or even 20 items more than they had originally anticipated. That's how I feel.
What about you, Owen? Do you feel like you're influenced by, you know, consumerism, or are your peers influenced, you know, being in college?
Well, I think I definitely got the bug, you know. Spending's just probably another thing I'm addicted to. However, you know, I tend to think of myself as a responsible spender. Outside of a few, you know, ill-fated poker games and stuff, I think I can say that I've spent my money pretty responsibly. And, you know, I do go out and buy stuff I don't need, but, you know, it makes me happy to buy for myself. And I think everyone should do what makes them feel best.
Well, I have a question. I know at Laytonville High School, there isn't a lot of competition about, you know, popularity and, you know, who has the designer jeans or, you know, the most expensive car. It really isn't that big of a deal at my high school. But what about in college? Is there a lot of competition between, with consumerism and, you know, between clothes and money and that kind of stuff?
Well, I think I've definitely seen it somewhat, you know. There's definitely people, you know. Actually, I have a pretty good example. I met a girl at college one day, and she was wearing about $2,000 worth of clothing on herself at this one time. You know, and that's completely outrageous for sure. But, you know, also I've seen people who dress in rags. There's people who dress in suits. You know, it doesn't matter too much. Everyone's got their own thing going.
All right. Well, I know that I was talking to one of my friends who has gone away to college, and she was roomed with a girl her freshman year who was trying to get into a sorority. And basically, the requirements to get in were, you know, you have to go out and buy all the new clothes and basically be able to drink alcohol. Those are the two things. But, I definitely think that, to a certain extent, with the social groups you hang out with, you know, especially if you do want to get into a sorority or, you know, be in a certain in class or something like that, you know, what you buy and how you look and, you know, what you drive does have a major impact. So, do you think we are trained, to be consumers in our society?
Well, I don't know if we're trained to be consumers, but, you know, it definitely happens. The media has a lot to do with it, you know. We see all these ads on TV, and, you know, that definitely has a lot to do with it. But, you know, I don't think it's being forced on anyone, for sure. It's all decisions that people make for themselves.
Well, could we function in our society without being consumers? You know, if we all sat at home and had our own plot of land and, you know, grew our own vegetables, didn't walk to town, or, you know, didn't really have to go out and buy things, do you think we could function as society?
It's not necessarily so. There is a large part of how our society works today that is based very firmly on how it has been for many, many years. Our society, if I may put it, is a consumer-based society, as we know. Our economy is kept going by the constant purchase of goods and services. It is a system that, you know, requires constant growth. And without that growth, our society, as it is today, would not function all too well.
Well, right. I mean, we live in a capitalist society. But do you think that, like, we really need to live in a capitalist society? Is, like, is that how we prosper as Americans or anything like that?
Well, there are parts of our capitalist society that deal with the production of food. This is just one of the many examples. In a college biology course that I took in the fall semester, we discovered, or moreover, went over the principle that Earth's natural carrying capacity for life is about 4 billion people. Now, the population on the planet Earth is something, it's over 6.5 billion people, I believe, at this point. 2.5 billion people are kept alive today with lab-created nitrogen-based fertilizers, circulated, by and large, by a very capitalist global economy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of the things that I can point out here.
Well, like, I definitely think that that's, you know, how we survive in the world today, you know, like, I don't think socialism and is really, you know, what's making us have, you know, gas in our cars and being able to, you know, rise to the top, be movie stars, you know, get whatever job we want to do. You know, it's definitely the capitalist society.
You know, I think a lot of this also, it's all about, you know, power to the consumer. You know, people can say whatever they want about capitalism, but the truth is, you know, it just gives people a wider range of freedom. And, you know, I think that's an important thing to focus on.
Well, do you think we are free because we have so many products to buy or anything like
that?
Well,
you know, it's definitely one of the things that makes us free is the power to be able, you know, walk in and decide between 20 different kinds of soap for your shower, you know? You have this power to make your own decisions, and that's what this country is all about.
Well, do you think that, well, sort of going into consumerism, like, I know around the holidays, all these people, you know, go off and, especially for Christmas, you know, you have to buy presents for your mom, your sister, your best friends, your employee, you know, all these people, you know, and everyone goes into debt at the holidays. Do you think that we're trained, like, as youth from an early age to go into debt, you know, through Christmas or, you know, through credit cards or through whatever?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say that we're trained to, per se, as much as we're told that it's okay to go into debt on a large scale. And one of the things I know I was told was if you get a good job, you'll be able to pay off your debts readily out of college. However, in statistics that I have here, it's showing that an increasing number of college graduates are unable to pay off their debts even with their college degrees. The income is getting less and less, or it's paling in comparison to the amount of debt that they have.
Right. Well, I just talked to this lady who just graduated from graduate school, and she didn't get any loans or financial aid when she went. And she said that she's in her 30s, and she told me that she's going to be paying over $600 until she's 65 to get to pay off her graduate work, you know. So obviously, you know, you get in debt for your whole life if you're going to college.
Well, you know, I think that's just one of the sacrifices you got to make if you want to go to college, you know. A lot of the point of college, you know, is to separate the elite from the not-so-elite. And that's one of these reasons, you know, we have these rising tuition costs and such. If you want to go to college and get that degree, if you're determined enough to do it, you're going to have to make some sacrifices. And hopefully, with those sacrifices, the idea is that you'll be able to go into a higher-level job, a higher paying job, or those are at least some of the ideas that were fed.
Right, but aren't you, like currently right now today, like, aren't you, isn't that already allowing the elite to stay elite? Like, I don't know, I see, like, the rising cost of college to be really catering to people who have a lot of money. You know, like, I know so many people who, you know, who get into, like, the University of California or to these top-end schools, but who just don't go because they can't afford it, you know? And so obviously, you know, because of that, and people who have money will go to college. And so don't you think that that's just, you know, this high cost of college is just catering to those people? You know, it's allowing the rich to stay rich and the people who are poor to basically stay poor. It's not giving the chance for people to...
I don't think that at all. You know, I think you don't have to be rich to go to college. You know, there's options available for people from lower income families. You know, there's financial aid. You can take out student loans. Basically, if anyone who really is determined to go to college can go to college, you know, they can do good in school and such. And, you know, those kind of things are still rewarded today. You know, good grades are rewarded. Extracurricular activities are rewarded. So anyone who has their mind set on pursuing a higher education can do so.
Yeah, but then you get, you know, over $100,000 in debt. You know, I mean, just looking at, you know, going to the University of California, how much is it a year? What is tuition a year for the UC
system? Well, I believe total cost of attending for UC Merced is up around $22,000
a year. $22,000. So if you go to college for 4 years and you don't get any financial aid, you know, say you're a middle-class person who can't really pay for college but doesn't qualify for financial aid, you're in debt, what, $80,000?
Something like that.
Yeah. So, you know, all of a sudden you're faced, and that's just undergraduate work. That's not even going into the graduate work, you know, like, so if you want to actually become rich or get into a position where you make a lot of money, you know, like as a doctor or lawyer or stuff, you know, you have to do at least 4 years, as graduate work, you know, and so that's what, probably another $80,000. So you're almost $200,000 in debt by the time you graduate, you know, and that's without any jobs.
And I just feel this is necessary to set the record straight. Undergraduates, usually, unless their parents have set something up for them exclusively, have to claim their parents' tax stubs. So they have to claim their parents' income for their undergraduate work, or until they turn 25 years old. After that, they're allowed to, regardless of their dependent status, claim their own income, is how I remember this working. So 4 years of graduate school may come off a little bit cheaper. You may get more grants. I've not actually done it myself, so I'm not sure how it's going to work for me exactly, or for anyone for that matter. But I do remember reading guidelines from the Federal Aid Commission about how claiming income worked in regards to age and school status.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, one thing that I find interesting, like, I'm just right now applying for college and I'm going through the whole financial aid process. And what I find interesting is private schools are willing to give me more money than public schools. You know, like, they just have more money, and they have a higher standard of what they think, is low income family, you know? And so, you know, I'm looking at the private schools to go to college because, you know, I'm thinking, like, at a UC, system, I'll get probably I'll get a minute amount of money compared to what the tuition is going to cost me, you know. And so do you think that's right, you know, public education costing more than the private colleges?
Well, the way I see it, a public education and a private education could, depending on the schools, of course, it varies quite significantly, could be This is very hypothetical, could be equivalent to each other in terms of quality. Now, I do know that a middle-class person, per se, at a private school whose tuition may be $42,000 a year, and a public school whose tuition may be, for the sake of setting up an example, $20,000 a year, you might get $21,000 a year, if you're middle-class, from a private school to go to that specific college. And you may only get, you know, $7,000 or $8,000 to go to a public school. But obviously, the point I'm attempting to bring out here is that a private school costs much, much more money. And you're $20,000 in debt coming off of a private school, as opposed to $11,000 in debt coming off of that public school. Sure, they're giving you more money, but the cost of attendance is much higher.
Right. Well, I mean, who knows who's going to get, you know, what kind of money from what kind of college. But, like, what I find the issue in this whole thing is, you know, you go to college, you're just getting out from being under your parents. You've never really had to support yourself your whole life, you know. And, you know, youth are going to college, and they're coming out in debt, you know, hundreds or, you know, $50,000 in debt. That's a large amount of debt, you know. And how is that fair to start off your life like that?
You know, nobody's forcing anybody to go to college. You can go straight into work after high school. I think the idea is that, you know, if you go to college, that's a sacrifice that most are willing to make, knowing that, believing that this higher education will lead them to make more money someday. And, you know, you pay a little now and you get a lot more later, that whole idea. But, you know, it's everybody's personal decision to do it. If you don't want to go into debt, you know, don't go to college. That's my advice.
Is that like what we should have to face? Oh, I'm going to go into debt or I'm going to go to college, so I have to go into debt. Like, are those like the consequences someone should have to face because they want to become educated?
Well, it's not like we can make college free for everybody. You know, if college was free for everybody, we'd have all kinds of people going to college, and having a college degree wouldn't even mean anything anymore.
Well, doesn't it better society as a whole to have people more educated? I mean, if people are more educated, they're, you know, I mean, it's, you know, they're more willing, you know, people are more educated.
Well, it also depends on how you define education. You know, in one class this year, I learned about Maidu creation myths. You know, like, I don't know how much the world is bettered by me knowing what the Maidu thought of the creation of our world. You know, in my opinion, the world would be bettered if I went into construction right after high school and built houses for people. You know, it really depends on how you define education, you know, and there are going to be some people who are going to be a lot bettered by learning all these, you know, literary things and stuff, but it's really all in how you define education.
Well, but education shouldn't be the thing that separates, you know, people who can afford college and people who can't afford college. You know, like, I don't know, I'm seeing, you know, the high cost in tuition as something that, you know, says, oh, if you can afford this, you can go. Not whether you're qualified to be smart or not qualified to be smart, but qualified to actually go to college. If you're smart enough to go, it's whether you have enough money to go.
Just a note on what you had said earlier about making college free for everyone. While it's a noble goal indeed, I've looked into the costs of operations for Humboldt State University. It's in one of their pamphlets. It was something like $55.5 million. That's just one California State University. I believe there are over 30. I'm not sure exactly what the number is. It could be more or less than that, give or take. That and the University of California system, there are a few of those also, as well as community colleges. That's just in the state of California itself. To make all of those colleges free for attendance would be a rather large feat that may or may not be possible, especially at this point in time with our economy and the situation that it's in.
Well, I agree with you. Like I think that students should have some money being paid, you know, but not to the extent that is being paid now. You know, maybe $1,000 to, you know, to get into a college or pay tuition, but not, you know, $15,000.
Well, as Matt was mentioning, you know, the cost of running these universities is extremely high. And, you know, of course we could cut costs. We can make it $1,000 for everyone to go to school. But what they're going to receive for that is a $1,000 education. Now if you pay $40,000 a year, the idea is that you're going to receive a $40,000 education.
Well, shouldn't the government step up and help pay for some of this? I mean, you know, however much. One day that we are fighting in Iraq right now is like $1 billion. You know, so that's enough to pay how many universities, you know, a year?
I think national security should be held above, you know, education.
Well,
in this situation.
But my point is all the money that they're putting into national security or all their money they're putting into anything, they should be able to put money into college education. They should be able to pay the $1 million or however much money, you know, it is for a college.
But how crucial is a college education? Is the government going to be getting, you know, its money's worth if they do this?
Well, remember that the government will be paying for some of it, but for the most part, taxpayers are the ones who are funding the government, and therefore inadvertently funding their own social programs.
I can tell you personally, I don't want to pay for anyone else to go to college. You know, I think people should pay for themselves to go or take out loans or whatever like that, you know?
Well, I know in the past 5 years, tuition and fees at public universities has risen 57%. So, I mean, obviously, so that's the past 5 years. So obviously the universities have been able to, you know, provide education to all these people without, you know, paying $15,000
a year. Well, you know, the cost of just about everything is rising. It costs more to fill your car up with gas now than it did, you know, 10 years ago or whatever. So, you know, a lot of these rising costs is just going with inflation, and it just costs more money to run these places.
So we're going to open the phone lines now. The number is 456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call, and we'd especially like to encourage the youth, their parents, and the concerned friends in the listening audience. Please call in if you have any questions or insights about consumerism, affluenza, and college loans. Did you go into debt to express your love at Christmas? Are young people aware of the problems associated with living a life in debt? Do you think there's a crisis when young people must go deep into debt to get a college degree? Should only the wealthy be able to afford a higher education? The phone number is 456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio or we'll get a very confusing echo. The number is 456-9991. Please call in and be a part of this discussion. We'd really like to hear from you. A caller on the air.
Hi, I'd like to respond to some of your discussion. One of the gentlemen you're talking to said that one choice he could have made right out of high school would be to go into construction and build houses. And it kind of struck me funny. You know, I sat down at lunch with my sister the other day. She's one of the head people of the Water Quality Board for the state of California. And she happened to cram 4 years of college into about 7 or 8 and took a lot of extra stuff to be real smart. And so over lunch, I said, well, Lisa, how much, if I was to go to college and then start working for the USGS, the Geological Survey, how much would I start at if I was to do that? She says, oh, about $11 an hour. I about spit my food out and about gagged. I couldn't believe that to go to college for 4 years and get a bachelor's degree or something like that in chemical engineering and learn all about science, that I would go into some government job for $11 an hour. I said, why go to college at all? Because you can work for a carpentry crew and make $20 an hour if you're just a real good hand and you have your own skill saw and a hammer. And I thought, that's ridiculous. And so I do agree with these guys that I don't want to pay for anybody to have an expensive education except for maybe my own children, because I can't guarantee that everybody that does it is going to make anything that's worth making it. And I understand that these student loans are going to last years and years and years. Now, my sister, she paid hers off many years early. She got higher paying jobs. She's very in demand. But there's only so many of those jobs. And with the workforce going into college, if everybody says, I want one of those jobs, they just aren't there. And so you see college students getting out of college with huge student loans and then going to work at Starbucks or something like that. You know, Rossi's Building Materials in Fort Bragg, you know, the lumber counter there, those girls can make, I don't know, maybe $8 to $10 an hour, and they have health care. And I thought, wow, I mean, why go to college when you can work somewhere there or make it, you know, a decent wage without college? I mean, it's not real decent. It's only $3 less than a government job, though. And they have full benefit. And I thought, wow, you know, where's this world coming to? I agree with what the gentleman's saying, that everybody does need to buck up and pay for their own education. And I think if you want to go to college, you need to think about that when you're a freshman. And you need to start putting your summer cash away instead of going on vacations to Mexico and doing everything else my high school buddies did. They need to just save their money each summer when they're working, put that money into a high-interest some sort of form of savings, that they can cushion that impact. And $50,000 in debt for education, to me, it seems like a lot when I was younger. But a few months back, I had an accident, and I had to buy a new vehicle, and I got into a new truck that cost $45,000. And I still owe $35,000 on it, and I'm making payments. You know, and those are choices that we make. And education and going into debt for it, if you want it as bad as you want it, like a 4x4 truck, you're going to want to make that payment and be proud to make it because you're glad with the product that you got. And you'll get that $50,000 education instead of just getting a $1,000 education. And I'll let it go with that. Thank you for your show.
Thank you.
Well, do you think that, I don't know, I've been grown up, like every student is grown up has learned that, you know, the government provides a free education all the way up through high school. You know, we don't have to pay for education. Hi, caller. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. I'd like to address the funding of, or in my mind, the proper fashion of funding public education, including higher education. And to get to that position, I'd like to take just 1 minute for a short course in economics. And I'd start with differentiating in the production of things we want, including education, between things that humans make and the stuff out of which those things are made, that is, natural resources, things not made by human beings, and that includes the land underneath cities. I'm actually living in San Francisco, but visiting a friend here in Fort Bragg. And, for instance, I own a home on top of some land in San Francisco. It's, according to the mortgage lender I've used, my real estate's already appreciated by about $80,000 in a year and a half. That rise in value had nothing to do with me. That is, that portion of the real estate which appreciated in value wasn't in fact the house, it was in fact the land, which is a gift of nature. I'm going to suggest that gifts of nature are a commonwealth, and to socialize the rent of that commonwealth, the rent of land itself, not the rent of my house, not the value of business, of income derived from employment, to socialize land rent would generate all the income we need as a society in order to fund public education. Indeed, just think for a moment, the value of my location in San Francisco is as high as it is in part because of the proximity of higher education opportunities, including public education. In other words, the value of public services, including higher education, is embedded in the value of land. That's why land values in cities is comparatively much higher than it is here in rural Mendocino County. So, if you would reflect, not you personally, but if we would reflect as a society and distinguish land and other natural resources as a commonwealth, socialize that rent. This is a radical position, I realize, but the problem here is how do we fund public education and not have children in debt, students in debt. This is my proposal,
mm-hmm.
And I'll happily listen to your commentary. Thank you.
Thank you, caller. And once again, the number is 456-9991. Please call in and be a part of this discussion. Well, one of the points I want to sort of touch on that sort of the callers have implied is really whether or not, you know, people should the taxpayers be paying for education, you know, and I personally feel that, you know, the taxpayers are putting all this money into, you know, the war right now. They put it, you know, we put it into everything. And we don't notice it. Like, no one's going to be noticing the billions and billions of dollars, you know, or no one's questioning the billions and billions of dollars that we're spending, you know, on the war in Iraq right now. Or if we are, you know, it's being okay because obviously no one's really revolting to it. So why, I don't understand why people are questioning.
You really got to think about, you know, the most good for the most amount of people. Now, if we're all paying our money for the military here, you know, we're going to get increased national security, you know. We're going to be able to take some people down. We already took down Saddam Hussein over in Iraq. If we're paying for someone to graduate from school with a law degree, you know, unless you ever get busted for something big, that's probably not going to come back and help you too much, you know.
But won't more people go to college and get an education if it is for free?
Well, you know,
I mean, isn't that maximizing the, like, how many people do you know personally? Or I know a lot of people personally who haven't gone to college or have, because they can't afford it. You know, I hear it all the time. You know, all my friends saying, oh, I got into this college, but I'm not going because I can't afford it.
So far, I've only heard, you know, of a couple of cases in which they really couldn't go to the college they wanted because they couldn't afford it. And in that case, the reason they couldn't afford it is because they weren't U.S. citizens and they couldn't get any financial aid.
I couldn't go to the college I wanted to go to because I couldn't afford it, and I am a U.S. citizen.
Well, but you don't want to take out – you could take out the loans to go to, you know, a more prestigious university. But in your case, you want to – you know, you're at a loan level right now that you probably feel that you'll be able to deal with, and that influences your decision.
But wouldn't free education allow for – people like Matt or anybody, whether it's because they don't want to take out loans or they aren't a U.S. citizen or whatever, that would allow for people to become educated. Whatever their decision is, it would make way for a lot more people to become educated.
Let me ask you something. If 500,000 people graduated from Stanford this year, would it still be the same to say to someone, you know, hey, I graduated from Stanford? You know, it's not as big of a deal. You can't let everybody go to college for free. You know, the people who want it enough will dish out the cash for it. They'll take out the loans. They'll do good enough in school so they can get the financial aid they need.
Right. Well, I don't know. Stanford has its own policies about who it accepts. The public education, the UC system, the state system, you know, the community college system, all these places can open up and provide free education for people, for anyone who needs it or wants it.
Well, they can't do it because they don't have the funds to do it.
Caller, you're on the air.
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Thank you very much for your show. I very much appreciate it. I just wanted to remind everybody, and my facts might be a little bit askew here, that we're spending practically $1 billion in Iraq every week. If we had 1/100th of what we're spending on war on education, we would be in a lot better shape in the world economy. We are falling behind as a nation, and we're going to be a third world nation the way things are going. China, other countries are going to pass us. We need to spend more on educating our youth. That's where the strength of any country is. So I say nay to the military-industrial complex and yes to education. Thank you very much.
Thank you, caller.
I'd like to touch on something the caller said. And, you know, he said that we need to educate our students. Now, but that, what exactly does that mean? Why isn't a high school education good enough for most people? Or why do we not think that a high school education is good enough for most people?
You want me to address that?
Yes.
Okay. What's really lacking in the discussion is the practicality of the education, whether education applies to the person's needs.
Mm-hmm.
In the future, and that's what's lacking in education in general, is that if a person thinks they wanted to go into something, they need to find out whether that something works for them. You know, if you think you want to be something, you need to go hang out. Like, if you want to be a lawyer, you should go hang out in the courts.
I agree 100%.
You should go into a lawyer's office and sit there for 3 to 4 hours at a crack and look at the books. And if you think you want to go into a medical profession, go to that person that you think you want to emulate. Find the master that makes some sense to whoever you might think you want to relate to, and hang out with that master or that person or that educator, independent of the school system.
Mm.
That's really what all I wanted to call about was that.
Well, what did you study?
I went in arts.
Okay.
I was sort of channeled that way because I got scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond, and my mother wanted me to go into it. But really, it frustrated me very much because the school itself never talked about the economics of education in terms of the art part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got out of school itself, I had another education I had to go through, which is the understanding economics of the jobs in and around the art field.
Right.
Because there's nobody ever, and I went there, I went on to get a master's degree and all that, but nobody ever sat down once with me and talked about it, you know. And in fact, that's what was lacking in my whole education, was that somebody sitting down with me and saying, hey, you know, this costs this, that costs. For instance, if somebody goes and enrolls in UC Berkeley, how much is it going to cost you to rent a room and live there alone, just the living part, independent of the school part? Now, I've talked to a lot of people that have come out of various schools. They've spent all their money, got into debt, and they say, you know, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to do that that stuff that they studied, they don't want to use that, apply that, and they don't even know what to apply it towards.
Mm-hmm.
So So if a person can short-circuit all that by saying, look, I think I want to be a soil specialist. Who in this county deals with soil? Who could I look up and maybe spend a month with or a week with or a day with? Call them on the phone and say to them, hey, look, you know, I'd like to come in and get a short briefing, you know. And if education went in that direction more, get the kids out of the schools and into the professions, if you want to get in the building, go in the building now. Don't wait. Just get in the building as soon as you can, you know. Then the person would know how to apply their education, because that's what I would like to see more, is the applied part of education. Anyway, that's my sermon.
Well, thank you very much.
If you want to ask me one more question, otherwise I'm going to hang up.
That's fine.
Colin. Okay,
thank you.
Caller, you're on the air? Caller, you're on the air?
Oh, hi. Thank you for your show. Really appreciate hearing your opinions on this. I would say that education really is important for our society, whether it's education for skilled trades or an academic education. It leads to a citizen or to residents with higher levels of skill, and higher education exposes you to new ideas, and I think that leads to a society that's more open-minded. As far as society paying for it, you know, there's this shift that's been happening for 8, 10 years and longer, with the wealth. The national wealth is going to the most wealthy, and people needs are health care, elder care, children, child care, education. Those things are all shrinking, the funds for that, as corporate, you know, the rich, the very few rich get much, much richer, and corporate welfare increases. So that's where our public money is going, to the very rich and to corporations. So I certainly agree with you, the young woman, that this should be paid for by society. These are the kind of human things that we should be paying for. Also, you know, a $50,000 education, a $1,000 education, what you get, I think we want quality education. I don't know that we need to put, you know, solid price tags on quality education.
Right. Well, thank you very much, caller.
Thank you.
Caller, you're on there.
Hi. I just want to say I think the show is really great. It's very interesting. I had a couple comments for one of the young men on the show. He was talking about how debt is sort of a sacrifice that you have to make if you want to go to college. And it would just sort of came off to me as sort of like an elitist theory about who should go into college and be accepted. And in my mind, it makes a little more sense for the elitism to be based on potential for educational advancement and not money. So I just wanted to make a point about that. It seemed to be a little nonsensical.
Well, I'll tell you what. I also talked about, you know, poor people can get into college also if they do good in school and, you know, do these extracurricular activities. You know, all it requires is a little bit of effort. We aren't going to give anybody a free ride into college, you know? That would just kind of defeat the purpose.
That's true. It just, it seemed sort of like your view was that if you have money, then it should be easier for you to go to college. And I was just sort of confused by that.
Well, I don't believe that it should be easier. I'm just saying it is easier. That's okay. Just the way the system is right
okay.
Now.
I see.
But should that system be changed?
You know, well, it depends. If it can be changed, you know, it might make a little bit of sense to do that if it's not going to really cost us economically or anything.
If I can interrupt here. One of my other points was that the more people that have a college education and are out there in the high-paying jobs, the American economy does better. And it just seemed like the more people that get educated, it's actually better for our economy, better for our capitalist market, you know, better for America in general. So in my opinion, for the government to invest a little bit of time or a little bit of money into getting people more educated would make more sense in the long run.
Well, thank you, caller.
Thank you very much. You guys are doing a great show. So thanks a lot. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Bye.
Well, touching on what that caller just said, you know, college education brings diversity to all the citizens. You know, in just looking at our society today, there's so much anger and there's so much violence and, you know, there's so much ignorance and intolerance towards people because most people aren't exposed to the diversity. And so I think, you know, going to college, you know, you are exposed to different cultures and different points of view and you learn how to deal with it. You know, and so if there were more people who had that, we would be a lot, I think, better as society and a lot less violent.
Well, it definitely doesn't work for everyone. I can honestly say that, you know, I've done the whole college thing and it hasn't changed me too much, but, you know, I can believe it might work for some people, but then again, it almost sounds like we're saying college will promote more liberal values or so like that, and, you know, people have their different opinions on that.
Well, it is actually, it's not a fact, but it's a lot of statistics, especially the statistic I'm about to bring up, cannot necessarily always be deemed as facts. It's been said, I've heard it myself, that statistics could be perhaps one of the greatest lies in presentation. I know that I had heard at one point or another that the more education one receives, the more left, as it was said, their values and thoughts become. That's definitely not always true. We have politicians working right now who've attended very prestigious schools and who are very conservative. They've had a lot of education, albeit, and have been in very diverse environments, albeit, but that does not necessarily always mean that they were changed by diversity or an abundance of education.
Right. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, my name's Jeff Harris, and I would just like to give you a little historical perspective on the UC system. I heard the story from a man who became a teaching physics in the UC school at Berkeley. And he said, well, World War II, you know, was over, and I didn't know exactly what I was going to do. I spent the summer, you know, and anyway, he said at the very last minute, like 1 week before, I went down and enrolled at UC Berkeley for $5. This is like probably 1948 or 9. And so for $5, Burns McDonald, who's now 80 years old, but he received an excellent education, and he went on to his doctorate work and became a professor of physics at Berkeley. And for $5, that was his fee to enroll. And so what has changed since then is my question. You have, you know, a public education system that was funded by taxpayer dollars, and then steadily over the years, I mean, you can imagine the cost of running a university then, it's increased, but so is everything else. And steadily, the tax burden has been shifted, as your caller pointed out, slowly but surely, and then exactly in year 2000, it shifted dramatically with two huge tax breaks for the rich. And this is what's driving our education. And this is not a something that's just sort of happening by chance, but it's been a steady pressure to deny people without money education. And also you have to say education should not be so linked to, you know, what am I going to get when I graduate? But you have to think about the value of that. And if you give a public education at a reasonable price they can afford, they will give back to that society which so desperately needs their care, their consideration. And our society has lost that, and we've bowed to these pressures which inevitably have come towards us. How we can get that back. But Burns McDonald, half a century earlier for $5, you know, got his education, and he gave so much back. And I know that there's many, many people who've done that. What's changed in our society? We have to ask ourselves that. And how can we oppose that? So I wish you a happy new year, and I thank you for your show and your honest debate.
Well, thank you very much, caller. Yeah, so, caller, you're on the air.
Oh, great. Yeah, I just wanted to kind of back up to the Pentagon budget and what's happening with public education in this country.
Mm-hmm.
If we're talking about $1 billion a week for the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, one of your guests said it was like $50 million that was running Humboldt State. Okay,
mm-hmm.
$50 million twice is $100 million. $1 billion is $1,000 million. And that's money that we are paying as our tax money to the government, which the government is taking. And he made a point about how, well, the government, you know, has to have this money and everything, but, he had it kind of backwards because the government works for us. We do not work for the government. And so, therefore, higher education should be almost mandatory, especially when there's this much ignorance happening.
Why should it be so mandatory, you know?
Because
I don't feel like I'm going to be helped if somebody graduates with a degree in English literature.
Everybody deserves an education. In English literature, you could probably use a little bit of English literature. I mean, English literature is great. It's history.
I personally don't feel like, you know, that would help me out too much.
Well, why? What are your goals?
You know, it doesn't matter what my goals are. The point is that, you know, you got to do what's good for the most amount of people.
Well,
and that's what our government's trying to do. And
you think $1 billion a week is good for our people that's being taken away from our infrastructure, for our highways, for our schools, for our hospitals, for our airports, for everything?
Sir, if you're not, you know, concerned about national security as all, that's your opinion.
National security comes from education. People want to smarten up and not dummy up.
Well, you know, personally, a lot of people may not be helped too much by higher education. You know, college is a gamble.
I can see that coming right away, right around the corner. Thank you for your intelligence.
Thank you.
Thank you, caller. Caller, you're on the air. Caller, you're on the air.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
God, I better turn my radio off. Okay, I have never been to college. I didn't even finish high school. I'm 45. But to me, it seems like a real education, I'll get to my point quickly here, would be subversive. I mean, I listen to the radio a lot. I'm an intelligent person. I have absolutely no idea, and I think, you know, 98% of the population is the same as me, who has absolutely no idea how this system is really run, who really runs the country, who really owns most of the wealth, how the system works. If college is a continuation of the kind of education I got in grammar school and high school, which was in one of the richest communities in the country, actually in Westchester County, New York, and if that's what they consider an education, I'm livid over how little education I have concerning mainly how this system works. So, and it just was occurring to me like this morning. You know, there's a show, This American Life. Okay, it's a great show. Why isn't there any education going on KPFA? I'm not even sure which station I'm listening to right now. I never turn on the radio and hear, okay, well, this many people own this much. This is, you know, there's, so my question, I guess, is, do you guys really feel that even the big major universities
caller
really teach?
Caller. Yes. I apologize, but we're out of time.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have to close up here.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. So that's all for this month's edition of You Speaks Out. Your host tonight have been me,
Patty,
and Owen.
Thanks to our callers. One of the purposes of this show is to involve the community in dialogue, so your call-ins are important to us. We're happy to have been able to broadcast from the Willett Studio. You Speaks Out is in need of funding, so if you as an individual or an organization can help to sponsor this project, please contact Director Dan Roberts. Dan may be reached by phone at 459-1760 or by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of the show, and listen to many hours of previous programs and streaming audio. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views solely of those who have expressed them. Our next show will be on the last Sunday of January. That's January 28th at 6 p.m. Thanks and good night.